Sienna.
My name is Sienna Gold, and this is Down to Earth. Thanks so much for listening in. Today, I'd like to say that the views expressed on this show are those of the speakers only, and are not necessarily those of KVMR, our board, staff, volunteers, or contributors. All right. Well, how's everybody today?
Great.
Good.
Yes, I have two lovelies in here today. Oh, Rebecca.
Lovelies.
And that lovely Pam.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
And we have the mystery engineer who speaks not. Anyway, hi, guys. How are you? So I want to talk about a movie. Start with this movie that I saw called I Am. It was made in 2011 by a director named Tom Shadyac. He directed a few Jim Carrey movies. You know, he's got quite a sense of humor. And he did this movie called I Am. If you haven't seen it, you might want to check it out. It's pretty good. Pretty good. I've told a few people about it. Anyway, in this movie, one of the experiments that they did was that they put some electrodes that were attached to a meter that could measure what was happening in the room, or anything measuring what was close to the meter and the yogurt. It was live yogurt that they put it in. And the director, Tom Shadyac, sat next to this dish full of yogurt with the electrodes in it, and they said, okay, think about something that's disturbing. So he thought about a couple of things, and sure enough, zit, the meter moved with his emotions, which I thought was really amazing. The message that they were giving is that we are all impacting each other. Mm-hmm. All for and for, you know, through the history of the earth, we are impacting each other, which I thought was really a wonderful thing. And I know that that's not news, but it just really hit me. And, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about how horrible things are. And I know I've talked about this before, but I want to hit it home again. Mm-hmm. Oh, how awful it is, and we're going to die, and the world's coming to an end, and, you know, we're screwed. The food is messed up. The water is messed up. The politics are messed up. The money is messed up. We're messed up. We're messed up. And I have some people I know who are avid news watchers, and they are just talking about how awful it is. And the other thing that, by the way, that this movie hit home was that science is really understanding that science has made a few mistakes. Like, science is understanding that something that I've been saying, and I was so glad to have it confirmed in this movie, that what's going on in our lives and what we're taught is going on are two different things. Mm-hmm. Well, they're very, very, very different. There are a lot of inexplicable things happening. So, you're shaking your head.
Yeah.
Okay, what? Do you have something to say?
Well, yeah, I was gonna...
You're waiting for me to make my point. Yep. Okay, got it. All right, so what I'm thinking is that, you know, you're listening to the news. I don't listen to the news, and I don't vote. I really am non-participatory. I'm not saying that you have to close your eyes to everything. I'm aware of some things, actually peripherally, things that, as I've said before, things that I hear about three times or more. Usually it's three times. I say, okay, and then I talk about it on the radio, and that's pretty much it. But the more my sense is that the more you allow yourself to be bombarded, assaulted by the negativity that we're being fed, the more you are contributing to the negative effects of that negativity. Because, again, your feelings make things happen. We are impacting each other all around the earth. So my sense is that what's happening is that, again, as I've said before, we're being deliberately turn toward negative information, turn toward things that make us feel negatively in order to do whatever, dot, dot, dot. I'm not sure what, well, I have an idea, but, you know, I can't prove anything, so that's just the way it is. Yeah, So what did you have to say about that?
I saw the movie.
Yeah.
And it was deeply impactful. And I remember that particular scene that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And it made me think about when I first met you, one of the things that you said when I was like, you know, coming over to house or stayed at your house, you were talking about emotions and how emotions drive everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular scene right there, it was just a confirmation of it, because our emotions, everything has a frequency. Mm-hmm. And that's what I got from that. Like, our emotions have a frequency, whether we can see it or not, but it impacts, you know, on a subtle level, everything impacts everything. And so negative or positive, you know, whatever it may be, everything has a frequency, and how important it is to clean and clear our frequencies, or, you know, have a sense of boundaries, and especially when it comes to watching the news, you know, because that is a particular frequency, and a lot of the times it's negative, and it impacts our emotions, and it mm-hmm. changes our frequencies, and then we put that out into the world. So mm-hmm. I totally, you know, get exactly what you're saying.
I see you chomping at the bit. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Because I just want to throw in here that there are people who are going to really, really not like what I'm saying, because, you know, what do you mean? Yeah. I want to be informed. And I do understand that. I did mention that already. I do understand that. And I really feel that you might take another look at what it is that you're feeding yourself.
Right.
Go ahead, Pam.
I really do believe that there is power behind our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that when we share feelings that are negative, that power is going to bring back to us what we shared. And there was a book that was written years and years ago. I can't even remember. I was pretty young. And it was by a fellow named Norman Vincent Peale. And it was called The Power of Positive Thinking. And that makes me realize that if there's a power to positive thinking, there's also a power to negative thinking. And I think this is what that movie was trying to say, how we impact others by how we think or feel about anything that's happening in the world. I also don't watch the news. My only news is KVMR's evening news, and that's it. You know, what they don't say in that half hour, I don't really care
right.
about. Right? So, because I agree with you that everything around us impacts us, what we see, what we hear, and it's important that we make a choice.
Okay, let me stop you there.
Okay.
Okay, because if you make a choice to do what?
To be aware of what we're doing.
Now that, I guess.
All yeah. right.
Yep, I'm with you on that one.
Okay, that's the only choice. It's all about us, and it's about how we project.
Okay, so right? just remember that I'm not saying to not feel your negative feelings. I'm that's yeah. not the message that I'm wanting to send out, because I think, like Pam was saying just now, that your negative feelings bring in experiences and your positive feelings bring experiences. To me, they're equal. What I'm saying is in where it is that I live, your feelings are super important to feel all of them, negative and positive. Why? Because especially with the negative feelings, if you just feel your feelings, what happens is they finally get a chance to vent, and also feel your resistance to the feelings, because those resistances are something that you want to vent as well. By allowing them to vent, all of your feelings to vent, what happens is that they finally calm down and are able to, I call it compost or integrate. And when that happens, you're not using energy pretending you're not who you are anymore. Mm-hmm. You are who you are. You feel what you feel. And that frees up other feelings. That frees up what I call the essence of you, the part of you that's not really part of the earth, you know, strange as that may sound, because I'm always fascinated and talk a lot about what part of you is moving the body around. Where we are taught that's a bunch of, you know, hoo-ha. But think about it. When you, whatever it is that you and I are, leave this body, the body can't move anymore. Did you have something to say?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So the other thing in that movie, oh, man, am I warm. I'm warm. The other thing, we're fanning me. You're used to be fans in here.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing in that movie had to do with how much we need each other. And they talked a lot about touch. They talked about love, loving each other, which is a subject we, I think, are going to actually kind of segue into. Because I don't fully understand what love is, but I do understand how, because of my life, I do understand what it means to not have people around to love me. You know, people around who I feel are on my side or in my corner. I have a few, but not. I don't have that love that you experienced, for instance, with your husband who passed, Pam. So yeah, they said that we all really need that, and that's fundamentally what it is that we have going on inside, is a compassion and love for each other. They showed some pictures of people being able to feel other people's pain, like a lot of accidents, you know, people falling downstairs and all kinds of weird. They had a couple of weird pictures in there. I closed my eyes because I couldn't take it. But I did feel, when I saw videos of people falling or hurting themselves in some way, I could feel it. And they said, well, yeah, because we feel each other. So, yeah, there's a whole other thing going on there that we're also being moved away from. You know, we're impacted with a lot of violence and a lot of hopelessness in the media. So you had a few thoughts about love, Pam.
Well, I was thinking about all the different ways people love. There's a love you have for your parents. There's a love you have for your children, your pets, your significant other. And then after I was thinking of all of that, I thought, well, what about the love for what you do and for who you are? And that came to me as well. And I think that there's a way that we love that connects us together. Whether it's the love for our friends, whether it's the love for the animals who love us back. But what I really am still questioning is whether or not they're different, well, or whether or not they're the same.
That's the thing that was the other thing in that movie. I believe they said that there's a molecule in the air called argon. I believe if anybody out there knows what I'm talking about, please call in. By the way, the number here is 530-265-9555. If you want to join in the conversation, please do. 530-265-9555. I'm pretty sure it's called argon. And that argon has been in our air since the beginning of time. Right. So we're breathing the same air that Alexander the Great breathed. And also, they said that there are parts of our cells, our cellular structure, that's in every living thing, plants, dogs, humans. We all share that same
Is it a molecule?
It's a molecule. You know how I am with remembering stuff, but it could be a molecule.
Right.
It was fascinating at the end of the day, because you know how I am about the babies with the dogs and the babies, I don't differentiate between them and us like most people do. People call them it, and you know they don't get it. I just don't think they understand how amazing they are.
Strong love.
Well, yeah, and also they're smart, and they're alive, and they don't deserve to be treated so, you know, anyway, dismissively. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, no, that's okay.
What were you going to say?
Last night, my beautiful cat brought a mouse into my bed while I was sitting there and ate it. And I had this mixed emotion, whether or not I should be a little upset that he came onto my bed and ate that mouse, or whether or not I should thank him for the gift.
Uh-uh.
So I thanked him for the gift, and he was a very, you know, I mean, he ate it all. It wasn't anything, but it was just kind of shocking to me. But it's that kind of, I knew it was a gift, and it's that kind of love that I think what you're talking about is the love that you have with anyone in your life.
Right, Right. Yeah. And what's interesting, too, is that we discriminate against people. We discriminate against them if they don't have a home.
Right.
Or as much money as we do, or are old, yeah. older than we are. And it just is amazing that at the end of the day, one of the things that they said in this documentary was because this director understood that we're all the same, that we are all the same. Our bodies are all built the same way somehow, same molecules, same or whatever, organisms or whatever. If you know the words I'm trying to find, please let me know, because I don't know what the scientific terms are. From that day on, he just treated everybody the same. And I don't know if he did actually, but he was saying that, why not?
Right.
Because when you give somebody who doesn't have any money, then you're taking care of yourself as well. Right. And, you know, if we can start, my whole thing is about shifting perspective on how life works. I think that we tend to be fixed in one way of looking at things. And I just think that the way that we're fixed is not really supporting who it is that we are. Mm-hmm. Anybody have anything to say?
Personally, when it comes to understanding love, you know, I have a lot of thoughts on it. One of the thoughts is, you know, when we're talking about frequency, you know, mm-hmm. and the movie's talking about frequency, how everything impacts, you know, love being the connection frequency, like the strongest frequency, you know, in our universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we call it love, you can call it, you know, whatever, you know, but it really describes an energy that binds things together. And so, and even though there, Pam, like you were saying, that there are different love manifests in different ways, right. you know, but it at the end of the day, it is all coming from the same thing. Like it's as far as, you know, energy and as far, if you want to put like, you know, scientific or, mm-hmm. you know, words to it, you know, it really is all the same thing.
Well, speaking of which, how would you define love? Either of you.
Defining love.
Define what in the world does that
mean? I have
no
idea.
You know, people throw that word around. I don't, honestly, where's my phone? Let me see what the definition is of love.
That's an interesting, while you're looking for your phone. That's an interesting, I honestly don't have a definition of love. I have all these ways to describe it.
Exactly. Right. That's the thing. It's a very goopy word.
Trust.
Goopy, yeah. Like that.
You know, compassion. I don't know. There's so many words that could represent it, but to really say, I think it's its own thing. I don't think there is anything like
love.
Yeah,
okay, let's get that.
Okay. All right, so the dictionary says an intense feeling of deep affection, a great interest and pleasure in something.
Okay. Feeling, pleasure, okay.
Right. Yeah.
I think the pleasure part would mean, like, let's say we get real pleasure from our jobs or from knitting sweaters or whatever it is that gives people pleasure. I think maybe that's what that's.
You know. I was just thinking after I saw that movie, if I ever said that I love you to anybody, and I have said that, but I don't think I knew what I was saying. I don't really think I knew what I was talking about, because I think I was defining a feeling that was inexplicable, but I might not have been in love with those people.
Well, is it always an in love thing? Because I've said to people that I feel connected to,
mm-hmm.
I love you.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily
have to
mean
be a
like
romantic,
right. you know, ooey gooey kind of thing. But, you know, yeah, I just, or I'll say it in my mind, man, I love that person.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like I've said that about you, like, aww. I love Sienna. You know, aww. And it's, you know, it's not like a, but it's a connection. It's like this, you know, feeling,
right.
you know,
right.
of connection, which brings right. me back to what I think, you know, my own personal thought on love. Like it's like this energy that goes through us, which we, I guess, that we could call feeling, you know, that connects, that feels like a draw, a connection, a bond, you know. And I think there are some forces out there that kind of, you know, separate or repel. Either way, I take your point of view. At first I didn't, you know, back when I first, that everything is valid, you know, like the negative and the positive, you know.
Right.
But I'm like, you know what, that is actually, you know, true. I mean, we are here to just experience these things.
Right.
You know, and I think to reject anything that kind of happens is, you know, will separate us from, I guess, that true essence, you know, from really experiencing. But I,
well,
yeah.
Here's the thing that I see. I think that we're taught, first of all, we're taught to be in pain. I think because of the difficulty that we're put through, our parents were put through, our grandparents, our ancestors, all of us were put through very rigorous ways of being in life that don't support who we are as human beings. Hmm. I mean, if I'm thinking back to, you know, the times when you had to curtsy and get the silverware right and all that kind of stuff, that would totally give me a headache. I mean, I get a headache with most anything that I have to do that doesn't make any sense to me. But back in the day, and still today, you have to do things that don't make sense in order to comply with the way that society is telling you you're supposed to behave. So I think that a lot of that inflicts pain. I think that we are living in a very painful experience. Feels like that's in some ways by design. Maybe that's how Earth works. Maybe that's how Earth works. You know, this could be the pain class, learning through pain. Who knows? But the bottom line is that what that pain ultimately does is shut you down. And when you shut down, you don't really, you're not really fully able to appreciate other people. And if you're not fully able to appreciate other people and what they bring, I know I've gone through that myself through my life. You can't appreciate other people and what they bring. You're shut down, then that whole concept of being together and tied together through whatever it is that ties it together, you want to call us, ties us together, you want to call it love or whatever it is that you mm-hmm. want to call it, suddenly doesn't, we don't have access, conscious access to that. It's always there, okay, which is why we behave in rather strange ways. I think that we have the, let's shut that door. Thanks, Pam. Let me wait for Pam to get back. We're closing the door. All right. So I think that we have, I think that we've been steered away from that interconnectedness, if you will. I think that that's like a big deal here these mm-hmm. days. And my whole thing is to make you, to give people the opportunity to look at things from a different light, to mm-hmm. look at your negatives with negativity, if that's what you're doing, but to understand that, again, that's just a part of your experience here on the planet. Let's see who's calling in. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering which movie you're talking about.
It's called I Am. It was made in 2011, and the director is Tom Shadyac, S-H-A-D-Y-A-C. S is in Sam. H-A-D is in dog. Y-A-C.
Nice. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I'm in my dentist office, so I got to.
Right on. I'm supposed to be hi to everyone on the radio.
Hi. Take care. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. This, by the way, is my name is Sienna Gold. This show is called Down to Earth. Mm-hmm. We're on every third Monday of the month at 12:06 after the BBC News. I have two guests here, two sidekicks, if you will, who join me as regularly as possible. That's Pam Davis and Rebecca White. Hello, guys. And
Hello.
We have the mystery engineer who does not speak, but he's definitely there. Thank you so much for joining us. And by the way, just to reiterate, the views expressed on this show are those of the speaker or speakers only, and are not necessarily those of KVMR, our board, staff, volunteers, or contributors. In other words, nobody is as crazy as I am. And that's okay.
I have some crazy people.
I like where I
You like your
I
crazy?
Live. Oh, yeah. I really like where I live. I'm grateful, honestly. I'm grateful for the frame of mind that I've developed mm-hmm. in my life. I just feel really happy, as I've mm-hmm. said before.
Well, it's helped me too.
Has it?
Yeah,
awesome.
It has. Like when I first moved here, and we're talking about feelings and emotions, you know, I was there. Where I came from. I came from a community where I was taught to kind of like bundle some emotions and put them to the side, or reject them in some way. And then, you know, meeting you and teaching me, you know, just through the conversations that we had about, you know, all emotions are valid. You know, and instead of just, you know, putting them to the side, to sitting in the emotions, you mm-hmm. know, and I've that's something that I carry even to today. I'm like, okay, let me just sit in my emotion.
Or sit in your inability to feel the emotion, the feelings. Sit
that
in your
too.
Feelings or sit in your inability to feel the feelings. Just notice or notice after, you know, oh, wow. Yeah, I really did push that aside.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all is valid. Yes.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, that the movie kind of just confirms even that, you know, like everything affects everything, even whether we're conscious of it or not.
Right.
You know, like whether we know how we feel or whether we don't, you mm-hmm. know, it just affects us, you know, but it's just important to just be mindful of it, you know, and experience it. And I try to keep that in mind, you know, it's not always easy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's a good, you know, it's something that's really good to hold on to, you know.
You know, the other thing too is simplicity that I think is really important as well, is to just, it's simple. You feel this way, you don't like that you feel this way, which is also valid, and allow yourself to feel. You don't have to go into why you feel this way, or when I work with people, I take them to why you feel such and such and so and so, just to kind of evoke where it is that it came from, so that you can feel the feelings or notice how much you bury them. Mm-hmm. But you don't really have to figure mm-hmm. out where your feelings come from, because you know, if you really want to know how you felt as a kid, all you have to do is pay attention, especially negative feelings as a kid. As an adult, all you have to do is pay attention to negative experiences that come into your life, understanding that, oh, this is how I felt as a kid, and that childhood feeling brought this experience into my adult life, and it feels the same as I did back in the day. You understand what I'm saying? How are you doing over there?
Doing just fine, enjoying the conversation.
Oh, okay, because you usually are a firecracker in here.
But
you
it
just
is
seem
well,
very
I,
pensive.
I have things to say. I'm just trying to decide whether or not they fit in with what we're talking about.
Okay, well, I want you to hold that thought.
Okay.
I want you, because you had started
Question.
Talking, Rebecca.
Yes.
Okay, and then we're going to come back and start digging in what you're talking about over
okay.
there, thinking about.
But it is still good or helpful to go back to.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, past experiences,
that's
yes.
what works for you. Yeah, sure. I mean, what I'm saying is that you don't have to remember. If you remember, or if you use the remembering to get the feeling up, then that's fine too. But I have people who said, well, you know, I sat down and I made myself think of such and such and so. And I'm like, well, you can do that, but you don't have to. You don't have to work that hard, because that feeling is going to show itself in something in your life that doesn't feel good. And you can use that. Pay attention to how you're walking in your life day to day. That's what's important.
Well, what happens if, you know, you get into, you know, just that, the whatever feeling comes up, you know, and you're in it, but don't know how to come out of it?
Then don't come out of it.
Well, if it takes you to a place that's not really, you know, like, how do you... I mean, there has to be a way to, you know, not get so sucked in, right?
Did you get sucked in as a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we're after. We're after how it felt to be sucked in.
Well, is there a container? Like, you know, I mean, sitting at home, you know, spiraling into a deep dark, you know.
Okay, let me address what you're saying.
Okay,
because I know where you're coming from.
Come on, let's do it.
All right, yeah, let's do it, girl.
All right.
Okay, so here's the deal. Generally speaking, uh-huh. people who really understand what it is that I'm talking about have done a ton of work on themselves. Okay, they have gone through what it is that you're experiencing, what you're talking about, and they've spiraled down, and they've gone to healings, and they've gone to therapists, or they've gone to whatever, you know, ayahuasca or books or whatever it is that they need to go to or feel they've needed to go to get hold of the feeling that's causing them all that pain. The thing about it is that what you eventually realize is that there's no way to heal any of that. It doesn't, because we don't really need to be healed. You can, quote, heal, we talked about this before, to a point or feel like you've healed enough to be able to peep outside of that hole that you're in and say, oh, geez, what else is going on here? Mm-hmm. And that's when I grab you and pull you up and say, look at the hole. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a hole. It gets to be a hole. It's a deep, dark hole. There's a reason for it. And you can't heal that. Well, you don't have to heal that hole. It's a part of your experience as a human being. And I'm actually, at the end of the day, talking to the part of you that's moving your body around. I'm talking to the part of you that, because of this experience, in this experience, you've forgotten who you are, what you are, because I don't even know what we are. But I know, and this movie, again, really... confirm this. People don't, I don't think, really totally understand how sheltered I am, and how you know, I'm looking at things with new eyes, and things that I figured out because of all of the various experiences that are not normal experiences that I've been through. I did a show one time when I told a bunch of things that I had been, that I had gone through. They're very odd. And I'm realizing also that if in my own life that I haven't really understood how things work on the planet very well. I haven't really understood any of the systems. I didn't understand the cruelty. I didn't understand how men and women interacted, not just because of my dad, but because of just not understanding how people, I don't understand the whole mating game and, you know, yeah, I want you to kiss me kind of stuff. I didn't, you know, I'm like, duh. It's like, I didn't know what
that
was going
on. I'm like, duh.
Oh, you like me? Really? You know, it's that kind of thing. Yeah. You know, that's just how it is. So, that's where I'm speaking from. So when I saw this movie, I was like, oh my gosh. And as I watched it more, I realized that, you know, yes, it had some revolutionary ideas, especially about science finally admitting, well, wait a minute, we might be wrong about some things. I had just said that to somebody I work with just a couple weeks before that. I said, because he's deep into science, I said, you know, I have a feeling, and this is just from my personal experience, not from having watched a movie or read anything, because I don't read. I have trouble reading. I used to be a voracious reader, but since I let my intuitive ability take over the reading, I can read the same thing over and over again. I can't get it. But I said, geez, you know, I have a feeling based on what I'm having experiences of in my life that there's something off about what science is telling you, just like I feel like there's something off about all the news and all the ways that we are being herded emotionally. So is this a bad thing? No, it's part of the experience on the planet. So my choice is, do you want to just follow the crowd and hurt? You can do that. And they can control you. They can. You can 100% do that. You'd probably have a much less kind of conflicted life if you just do what they tell you to do. Or if you're not satisfied with that, if you want something that's a little different, then listen to what I have to say. You know, but that doesn't mean that I would negate the experiences that people are having as being part of what's that? The majority, the norm, what's that word for
mainstream?
The mainstream, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is what it is. Life is what it is. Okay, Pam.
Okay, first of all, I want to agree with you that each of us has to see within ourselves. And I don't, I hate using these words, but it, I don't know what it, the negative and the positive, because we both contain both. You know, we contain all of them. And we cannot ignore that part of us. That's very important. So I just want you to know I agree with this. But what came to mind was this Native American story that I heard a long time ago. And this grandfather is talking to his grandson. And he says, within each one of us, there lives two wolves. And one of them, I can't remember the exact word, but is the positive and one is the negative. And they're always fighting each other. And the grandson said, well, who wins? And the grandfather said, the one you feed is the one who wins. And I was thinking that when we look at that part of us that is the shadow, the negative, that part of us which we try to hide or bury, which we did as children and which now is coming back in many ways to kick us awake, that we don't need to feed that. We need to see it. We need to allow it. We need to be knowledgeable that it is a part of us, but we don't need to feed it.
So what does feeding it mean?
Putting our energy into it in such a way that we let it dominate our thoughts.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right? And I think that that is where we do have that choice. We can't ignore it. It's there. I remember things in my childhood now that I had totally, totally buried a long time ago. But now I can look at them and I can see them differently. Like you said, your perspective changes.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So here's the deal. When you do what it is that I'm suggesting, which is allowing it.
Yes.
It doesn't show up in your life anymore for you to look at. It doesn't, it goes in and finds a place to live inside of you as part of you, which is what it is.
Right.
And there's no feeding anything because it's asleep like a little baby inside of you, integrated, if you will. So again, go ahead.
But before that happens, right? Before you actually allow it and it becomes composted or integrated within your world, it's there. And if you see only that, I mean, there were things that happened in my childhood that would scare a lot of people. But it's okay, because now I don't look at it like that anymore.
Okay, let me stop you here.
Okay.
Whether you as an adult look at it like that anymore is of no significance.
Okay.
What's important is that you went through it.
Well, right.
Okay. And that your little kid in there will always have gone through that situation.
Right.
Okay? Whether your adult doesn't want to feed it or want to acknowledge it or doesn't want to deal with it or whatever it is, your adult can make that choice. But your kid doesn't have a choice, because the kid in there who's in pain will always have gone through that experience. And that's all I'm saying.
Right.
Is allow that kid to hurt. You don't have to worry about anything else. And when you allow that kid to hurt, which is what that kid was not allowed to do when the hurt was first inflicted,
right.
Okay, you don't have to like it. You don't have to embrace it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to accept that part. Because you don't. There are parts that are talking to me right now that are saying, I'm not feeding that kid. I'm not going to feed that part. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to deal with the way that that feels or deal with what that feeling brings into my life. I want to feed the other part that's going to bring other things into my life, which I totally understand. But what I'm saying, and what I'm saying, not but, and what I'm saying is that by simply allowing yourself the discomfort of having the part, the discomfort of not liking the part, the discomfort of not wanting to feed the friggin' part, okay? When you just allow that, you don't have to do one other thing. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to heal it. You don't have to get rid of it. any of those feelings, you the not wanting it, not wanting to feed it, you don't have to get rid of any of those or do anything with those, and you don't have to do anything, you can't do anything about what you went through as a kid.
Right.
You just let it be. Go ahead.
So, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing is that now that I have been able to compost most of what happened to me in my childhood, I find that I look at that child with compassion.
Part of you does. Part of you is like, get the frig out of here. That part spoke a couple of minutes ago and said that I want to not feed that.
Well,
okay, so
there
are a lot of different parts.
All right.
No one is better. It's not better that you...
Right.
It's not better that you have compassion for that part.
Okay, good.
It is what it is. So you have a part that has compassion, but the other parts that don't want anything to do with that pain, they are of equal value.
Right. Okay, I agree with that.
You understand,
yes,
though?
Yes.
Yeah. What
yes.
were you going to say?
I was just going to, as I'm digesting what you're saying, I'm bringing it out just to make sure that I know what I'm hearing.
Yeah, okay.
That whatever it is, we can say trauma, whatever that child is, because the child's always feeling it, right? Is that what you're saying? Part of us is always, it's just there. The composting or sitting with it and just allowing it to come up will, in doing that, and you know, just allowing ourselves to do that, will allow us to compost it, and it just kind of like integrates and just becomes, you know, well, it's always a part of who we are, but we become okay, you know, with
okay.
it.
So you're not, first of all, you're not doing the composting, okay? I don't know who does the composting. I don't know who does the integrating. I don't know how that works. I always say whatever grows the plants does that. Okay.
That part.
Right. Your part is to notice how you behave. The end. Your part is to notice, oh, this is a painful situation. I think I'm going to have some ice cream. Oh, I think I'll have a drink. I think I'll have some sex.
Like our conscious part.
Right. Right. I don't want to deal with it. And I'm going to do whatever it is that I need to do to not deal with it. That's how people usually come in to when I start talking mm-hmm. to them. That is fine. You have parts that are like, I don't want to deal with it. I'm going to do something to keep my, to not feel this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So little by little, what I suggest is that when those feelings come up and the part of you that doesn't want to deal with it pops up, you let yourself not want to deal with it and pay attention to what that looks like. Little mm-hmm. by little, that part starts getting composted. And what I've experienced is all of a sudden the weed doesn't work for people anymore. The alcohol doesn't work. The porn doesn't work. You know, I'm like, porn away, and let's see what happens. Let's see what, as we bring it more to your attention, the pain that you come in and we talk about the pain and it comes up and up and up, and you normally would go home afterward and watch some porn. You go porn, do porn, porn, yay, yay, yay. And then after a while, they're coming in and saying, you know, the porn's not doing it for me mm-hmm. because you're becoming more and more aware. So it's mm-hmm. not about, again, just to reiterate, changing how you behave. It's about watching how you behave. And little by little, you don't have to do anything to not have that behavior anymore. It integrates the more you just let yourself be who it is that you are.
Yeah, I get that. I was just referencing to, like, it just, like, it naturally...
Yes.
As
you do.
Not having to force anything happen because things
right.
will just happen.
They just happen on their own. And that's the hardest thing for people to understand.
Yeah,
and
it's me. That's
yeah,
not for me.
Yeah, and I did realize that as I was talking that I wasn't answering your question. I got off on a tangent, and I'm glad that you brought it back to what it is that you were addressing. No, you don't have to do anything. I don't know how it works. All I know is that it works.
That it does.
It does. And the more you allow yourself to feel the more you do this, the deeper you go. So you'll start off with, you know, oh my gosh, you know, life is terrible and I don't know what, you know, that whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And then you come in and you're like, wow, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
You know, I really feel good. And then you come in, you know, the next week and you're like, oh my goodness, the worst thing in the world has happened to me now. I've never felt worse. And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper till you get to the original hurt. I've got people, you know, I feel horrible. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, yes, yes. That's that how you felt as a kid.
That is so, I feel like I'm going through that right now because I was taking like master plants and things like that, you know, these medicines that, you know, have just kind of come up in my life. And I was doing that, but I've had recently opportunities to do it, but there's something in me that's like, no, I've done that. I don't know. Maybe I should, but I don't feel like there is something in there that's like, no, just sit with what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Like, just.
And it's not Vipassana sit.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah, just like just regular old life.
Watch yourself. Yeah. Do your regular old life. Watch yourself. You don't have to do anything special. Just pay attention to yourself and watch where you don't pay attention to yourself. And that gets a little confusing, but yeah, I'm telling you, it worked. Do you have anything to say?
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's a shock. I got to get a picture. You're not having anything. Pam doesn't have anything to say.
This is what Pam looks like.
I hope I didn't. Did you feel like I shot you down?
No.
Really?
No. No. Okay. Because what you said was very true. And by feeding, I don't mean ignoring it. I said that. By feeding, I mean like if you're going to give it more power, that's feeding it to me.
Okay, then that's the crux. What I'm talking about is so subtle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, it really is. And what you're saying, it totally makes sense. I totally get what you're talking about. Right. And then what I'm talking about is the next step from that.
Okay.
Okay,
yes.
By doing that, that gets you calm enough to be able to come in and talk to me.
Right.
And then I can calm, because you're in enough of your positive feelings to really experience the negative feelings and the negative pain in the way that I want you to, and that, so then you don't have to worry about feeding it, because there's nothing to feed. That baby's inside.
Exactly.
Okay, that baby has a place to live. You know, people don't understand. I've gotten people who want to do Tai Chi and they're like, oh, it just calms me down. I'm like, then no, I don't want you calm. Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm going to meditate and it's going to make me good. Nope. And no, then don't meditate. If it makes you calm or makes you feel better, no. You've done that. Mm-hmm. You've done that for years and years and years. And that's okay that you're doing that. Just, we're just taking it the next step. That's mm-hmm. all. By the way, my name is Sienna Gold again. And I'm here with Pam and Rebecca, my buddies, who I love having, and the mystery engineer. And I'm on once a month, every third Monday of the month. If you want to get hold of me, excuse me, and my number is 530-477-8008. You can check my website, although it's outdated. I think even the prices are wrong or whatever. Something's wrong on there. But it's feels, F is in Sam, E-E-L-S, feelslikegold.com. Or you can go to KVMR and KVMR.org. The views expressed on this show are those of the speakers and speaker and speakers only, and are not necessarily those of KVMR, our board, staff, volunteers, or contributors. Any parting thoughts, ladies?
No, this has been great.
Yeah, this is always fun.
This has really been a very wonderful talk.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It makes me realize that part of me, which was created by my experiences as a child, made me who I am today. And I can look at those now with a different kind of attitude.
Yeah.
And I think that is the main thing I think everybody should think about.
Well, then that's like the whole point of the show. What were you going to say,
There's
Rebecca?
Something freeing.
Yes.
And
I get that all the time.
Allowing things to just
be.
You know, and not having to force certain things, and force a thought, force a feeling.
Exactly. And when you find yourself doing that, because you are trained, if you will, by, mm-hmm. you know, all the different things that are available to us as human beings, we little Lilliputians. If you've seen Gulliver's Travel, you know what I'm talking about with the Lilliputians, and that's how I look at humans, and I'm one too. So mm-hmm. believe me, I include myself in the group. You'll see that all the things that we've decided or discovered to help us get over our pain or heal or any of that, that's at the end of the day, that's not the deal. The deal is that you are in a body having experiences on a very strange planet that's not solid. And I know that sounds really wacky, but that's what's up. All right. What were you going to say, Pam?
Quickly. You know, the end of the show, the I Am show, mentioned that something about love. Okay. And I just want to say that I totally agree with that. You know, love is probably, I don't want to use the word power, but it just has so much to it.
At the end of the day, whatever love is.
That's the deal.
Thank you for that, little Pam. All right, guys, that's it. Take care. See you. Oh, when are we going to be on again? Unless there's a fundraiser. July 15th. See you then. Take care.